Welcome everybody to Dragon Quest FM, where we talk about and obsess over Dragon Quest. My name is Austin.
And I am BJ.
And this week, we're continuing our Xenoblade Chronicles 3 FM discussion.
Yeah.
Where Xenoblade Chronicles 3 has taken over our lives and this podcast, kind of, last week.
Yeah.
And we had originally planned on doing kind of like a final spoiler cast episode this week. But it's a really long game, like we mentioned last week. And BJ still hasn't beaten it yet. So instead, we decided we'd do like a middle impressions. Last week was like first impressions. Then we'll do like a final thoughts spoiler cast episode. But so this one is like middle impressions. I don't know what you would call that. Middle impressions aren't really a thing.
Yeah, it's just impressions of the middle of the game, I guess.
Second chances.
Oh, that should be Xenoblade Chronicles 4's subtitle.
It won't.
Start this out on a positive note.
It won't be. If Xenoblade Chronicles ever does subtitles, I hope they're really weird, like Xenosagas are, and they're all like in another language and from a dead writer.
It's true. Like those are great. Like the Thus Spake Zarathustra, and like I can't even remember the German ones now.
They're all Friedrich Nietzsche.
Like
books or famous quotes. And I'm kind of interested in seeing. I hope Xenoblade Chronicles 4 has like some weird like James Joyce quote.
I hope so. That'd be weird, actually. Not James Joyce. I don't know.
Dostoevsky.
Either way. I've never read any Dostoevsky.
Yeah. That's be a good one, maybe.
Yeah. Yeah, I looked up because I couldn't remember what it was. And episode one of Xenosaga was Der Villas were mocked. So, like the will of the machine. And so I was like, yeah, they went weird.
And what's funny is back when those games first released, I didn't know what any of that was. So I was kind of like, WTF, why is this subtitles for the game? What does this mean? What is this? And it was so early enough like, you know, in the 2000s where not like now where you just pick up your phone and Google it real fast, you know, like would have taken a little bit of effort on my time.
Like, I had to go look it up, and like Google Translate wasn't a thing. So you couldn't like just type it in and it automatically come back with, this is German, blah, 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 from blah, blah, blah.
Yeah. Like I would have had to walk into like the family den and boot up the computer, and we were still on dial-up internet back then. And so, you know, had to wait through like that, noise.
Yeah.
I can't really do a good dial-up impression, but wait for the dial-up noise. Yeah, yeah.
That.
And then I would have had to type it in and hoped that, you know, like Jeeves could have told me. Ask Jeeves was still a thing back then.
See, Ask Jeeves was not my go-to.
I wouldn't have used Ask Jeeves either. I would have used like whatever the
Alta Vista.
I would have used whatever the default like AOL thing was. Like I would have just typed it up into the top, right up there, into AOL, and it would have shown me something, I'm sure. So I had no clue what any of that stuff meant back when those games were releasing. I think by the time the third one released, I did.
Yeah.
And like I knew that like Thus Spake Zarathustra was like a thing.
Yeah.
And so that one, you know, I knew about, but the others, I had no clue. I was just like, okay, this is weird, even for a JRPG.
And it still is.
Yeah. It still is.
Like the Xenosaga games, like leading into 3, like if y'all play the Xenoblade games, they are nowhere near as weird as the Xenosaga games. Like, if you want to take, like, the storylines and this really convoluted kind of Gnosticism, rebirth spirituality, and just actually make it where it's almost incomprehensible, but at the same time engaging, that's Xenosaga. You should definitely play those if you have the chance, because they're strange and wonderful. And I really want to play them again. Like, I only ever got through the first one. I never played 2 or 3.
The thing about those games that made it so difficult is like there's a section I want to say that takes about 3 hours of just cutscenes to get through. And granted, this was on PS2 and load times, you know, took a while and everything too. But I can remember just the cutscenes in that game being ridiculous.
Yeah, and like there were some that were like 90 minutes to 2 hours long, and you couldn't suspend the system at this point. Like that was the problem. I was telling Jennifer about this morning, actually, when I was playing three before to try to get to the prison part that we talked about last week. I was telling her about at least now you can pause it when there are and suspend it when there are new like super long cutscenes that come up. You couldn't do that back on the PS2, and so it made Xenosaga kind of a pain. It was a unique experience that only certain people were able to get through because of that. Like, people gave up on it very quickly because of the incredible length of those cutscenes.
Yeah, for sure. And yeah, and I'll agree with you. Like, that's one of the things about Xenoblade on Switch that makes it so great is that you can like just sleep the Switch very easily. The only fear I have is there's a few times, very few. I've had a Switch since 2017, since it launched, and this has only happened to me a few times where I will sleep a game and then I go to play it the next day, or maybe it's like 2 days, and there's an update for it and it doesn't give me the option to play it without the update. It has to be updated before I can even boot it up. And so I lose progress. And it's only happened like maybe 2-3 times in like the last, 5 years? Oh my gosh, I can't believe it's been 5 years.
Yeah,
but
no,
5 years.
Yeah.
And out of like, I don't know, easily 100 games. I mean, they're like, I play the Switch a whole lot. So, I mean, it's not like a very common occurrence, but it did happen. It's happened to me often enough that with a game, especially like Xenoblade, I get really, really paranoid. Like especially in the final cutscenes at the end of each chapter tend to run really long, and then before you can save it, and then once you start up the next chapter, the beginning cutscenes usually run really long. Thankfully, there's a save between there. And like there was a time in chapter 4, I believe. Okay, heads up, spoiler warnings for chapters 4 and 5 in this episode. So there was a part, I think it's at the end of chapter 4, whenever it's going through the long... No, it's chapter 5, which I will spoil the ending.
I haven't gotten to the end of this.
But yeah, it was at the end of chapter 5. There's some really long cutscenes, and I had to pause it. I can't remember what happened, but I had to pause it, and I knew it was going to be a little while before I played it again. And I was just like, oh, please don't. Please don't like have an update come through that like keeps me from being able to play this. Because it was like I'd done a bunch of boss fights and watched a bunch of cutscenes. And, you know, there's no middle room to save. And so it was just like, anyway, thankfully that didn't happen. But I have been paranoid about it a couple of different times because of having to pause some of the longer cutscenes. I do think overall, though, Xenoblade 3, I feel like has shorter cutscenes overall, like especially compared with 2. There's some long running cutscenes, but just comparatively to other Xeno games, like it feels like Xenoblade 3 like really cut down on that.
And I think that it's been because I think they've cut down on them, but it feels like they've cut down on them because I'm pretty sure that they've split them into different cutscenes now. That there's always a little interim between them where you run just a little bit, or you like interact with the world for something, and then you get another long cutscene or another semi-long cutscene where before in the other games you might not have even been given control of your character again. But they still have long, long cutscenes, but I think they're broken up by actual gameplay now.
Yeah, and to a certain extent, I like that. But then there are a few times in Xenoblade 3 where I feel like they knew that they were going to have a lot of cutscenes. And so what they do is it's like you walk about 20 steps and there's a cutscene, and then you walk about 50 steps and there's a cutscene, and then you walk 50 steps and there's a cutscene, and then you walk 50 steps and there's a cutscene. And I really don't know which one I prefer, because whenever that would come up, it would be like, oh, I just want to play this game. Where I almost just personally prefer if they had just run those cutscenes back to back to back to, like that. I mean, it was nice getting to save it, but a few of those times when they split it up that way, I was just like, man, the pacing here could have really been a little bit better.
Yeah, it really could have. Like, that's one of the biggest problems in the early part of the game. Like, specifically around chapters 2 and 3, the pacing is off. like that's what kept me go from really digging in again. There were a couple of weeks where I didn't play it because I was just like, eh, I don't care. And then I hit chapter four and there's all sorts of really, really awesome stuff that's
chapter
going on.
Chapter four is really good. Yeah, that's one of my favorite chapters.
Yeah, chapter four is great. And it's like telling you all of this stuff. There's all of these revelations and it's like, okay, I see where the thing is going. And now in chapter four, it was right where you said, like you get this amazing, like to this amazing new area. You learn all of this really, really cool stuff that's really entrenched in the lore. And then there is a very long fetch quest. Yeah. And then you get to the boat and I'm at the point where there's the boat and then there's the prison. And so I haven't made it to the prison yet. And I know you complained about these, but I don't think the boat's that bad. Like the boat, it doesn't control as awfully as you said it did. And, like the area, because I don't feel the need to completely, make sure that every inch of the map shows on my mini map.
Yeah,
it doesn't matter that the area is so big. I've explored a little bit, but I don't feel like I've been just like going back and forth for no reason whatsoever and feeling so big.
Like I guess to that I would say wait, because you're going to spend a lot of time in that region and it's so massive. Like I know for a fact where you are right now, there is probably about 75%, maybe even more than that, of islands and the map that you're going to have to like backtrack and run around and explore, especially if you do like heroes quests.
Yeah.
Not even if you just ignore the standard quest, but you do heroes quests, like there's a lot you're going to have to do there. I got very tired of that area and I hate the boat. I hate the way the boat controls. And I think it's because of me exploring. It's like, I wanted to go into places and it's like you go forward and you go back and it takes forever to like turn around. If you're just like spinning around, like you have to take very wide turns.
You do have to take very, very wide turns, but I do like 3-point turns with the reverse. So it's really, and I keep the camera moving around it all the time. So it really doesn't feel bad.
Well, see, that's the other thing. If you spin the camera around, it starts moving directions. It's like the Warthog in Halo.
Yeah. I don't know. I guess it's not good, but but like I've always used the camera to like, even with characters and stuff, to kind of direct the way that I'm running and look around at the world, just the way that I've always done, probably because of growing up with things like Halo and getting used to using the 3D world like that. And, with the Warthog and all of it. And I don't know, it doesn't bug me. Like it doesn't even feel that off. It just feels like another vehicle in another game.
Yeah. I hate
another sluggish vehicle in another game.
Yeah. I don't know. I hated it. I'm like, I would much prefer the ship and like Dragon Quest XI, or even the ship in an older game like FF9, like all of those control better than the ship in Xenoblade 3.
Huh. I don't remember those, so I can't say.
Yeah, they were better. Trust me. but yeah, so going back to chapter 4 real quick. Yeah, I really like that part too. The finally being able to slide down those, like, they're not really zip lines, but they're kind of like zip lines. You're just on top of them. Being able to unlock that was really nice. And I had fun going back to the past areas and exploring because of being able to slide down on those now and unlocking like other parts of the map in other areas.
Yeah.
Like I really liked getting all of that. I don't really like the heroes class you unlock there through Juniper. I don't like Juniper at all. But I can't remember the class, but it starts off with Noah. And I kind of
like, is it like Stalker?
I can't remember. I liked the outfit and I was like, this might be a cool one, but I didn't really like that class too much when I was playing it with Noah, which is weird because I love bow classes in video games. It's like my whole thing. You know, I'm a bard in FF14. I've raved about Bianca in Dragon Quest Heroes, about loving her in that game because of being able to like spam bow stuff from a great distance. And you know, I was I can't remember if it's just called an archer or what it is in Neverwinter.
I think it's Ranger in Neverwinter, isn't it?
Ranger. I can't remember. Anyway, I use bow in Neverwinter and you know, that's kind of like my default class in any kind of MMO or game like that I try to play, is I want to be a bow class. And, in Re-Reckoning, you know, I tried using bows, didn't like it or whatever the equivalent there is, but I used the chakrams, I think is what they're called, where you're like throwing like these rings from a distance. Like I like those kind of ranged moves like that. And so I was like very surprised that I didn't like this class, but I think it's because of the battle system that Xenoblade has, where it doesn't necessarily, like, it doesn't really matter if you're far back from the action and spamming stuff too much.
No.
And there were some cool buffs that that character had. Like when you were at my house, you know, it was partially because of those buffs. I took down one of the unique monsters really quick outside of the castle. They're going into the ending of chapter 4. That you watch me play, because I had worked out like a system where like Noah's gonna do these buffs and then I'm gonna follow up with this move and then I'm gonna do this, and this is how I'm gonna take down, you know, more powerful enemies really, really fast. And so I did like some of it, but just in terms of playing it, I did not enjoy playing it, I guess.
No, I love having it. It's great to have on an NPC, but I will not play it myself. It's too slow. Even rapid fire on it is like this huge build up and slow like animation where it doesn't feel like you're doing anything. Like I don't enjoy playing it at all like I thought I would. I was expecting a very fast kind of almost like the Zephyr on how you charge everything up by hitting other canceling other attacks. And I was like, okay, that'll be really cool. And it's not at all like that. It's very slow and not fun to play.
Yeah.
But I don't know which ones of these for the most part are optional and which ones are part of the story for sure. Because like I got the Lone Exile, the one with Asherah outside Kevis Castle. And that one feels like it would be a required one, but I don't know.
No, it's not. Cause the way you can tell is because if you unassign yourself from it, the main quest marker will still be showing up somewhere.
Okay. I never did that. So with her, it's my favorite class so far, by far. That is the most fun to play. I love being this like staff wielding tank that I've used it on every character that I possibly can. Right now and leveling it up. Like I am loving playing it. I always switch to them. Like it's genuinely fun in combat to play, and I don't feel I don't get really annoyed at having monsters attack me when they do.
Yeah.
So I'm like, I get the blah 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 blah, and I hit the buttons and it's great.
I actually wanted to discuss this today because you and I both going into this game when we were texting each other and back when we had first started playing it, like, you know, not very far in, neither one of us, we were talking about how, you know, we were griping about the class system, things like that. And we were talking about how we didn't like I was saying how I didn't like playing as the tank or the healer. You know, I wanted to just be like the attacker that I wish, you know, I didn't like that it made you switch and stuff like that. But I came to prefer playing as a tank class for Noah, for keeping a tank on Noah and just playing as him and running through the game. And I think part of it is because you're the leader, you get aggroed first. And so it was like, you know, if I ever ran around as Noah as a fighter, I would get aggroed and die half the time.
Yep, you get hit.
Because everything just gangs up on you. Yeah. And so I think maybe that was it. But also it was like tanking. I felt like there was like not as much, brain work going into tanking, where I could just kind of zone out and hit my procs and like do stuff. And I don't know, like I didn't have to worry about placement, whereas a lot of the fighter classes is like, this must be a side attack, this must be a back attack.
Right.
Like I didn't have to deal with any of that. And so I really came to love tanking, which is weird because in the other Xenoblade games, like I always just wanted to be, you know, the sword fighter character. Like I didn't want to ever switch to like Tora or what's his name? Dunban.
Dunban. Yeah.
And
the first Dunban. Dunban was fun. I did enjoy playing as him.
Yeah. And so I thought like I was pleasantly surprised because this is the first game where I usually do not like playing a tank class in any video games ever. And so I was like, but I really liked it in this one and it became my favorite. And anyway, I just thought that was surprising. But I know at the time you said kind of something similar to that, but it sounds like you ended up really loving tanking in this game as well.
Yeah, I've really enjoyed the tanking part of it for a lot of the same reasons that you said, because as the the combat's pretty chaotic at times, and so it's really easy as a tank to make sure that you fill up your specials to a lot easier, more easily than the side attacks and back attacks and keeping all of your arts together. I do like it. I still think that this combat is nowhere near as good as Xenoblade 2. Xenoblade 2 has the best combat in the entire series, and I don't know why they changed it for Torna even. But I do really like being a tank in this one a lot more. I don't like playing a healer, and I haven't really played the Thaumaturge yet, which is a healer that also does damage. So I'm curious about playing it. Unlocked it and let some of my NPCs play it to level it up, but I haven't like gone in myself because I've had too much fun with the lone exile.
Yeah, that totally makes sense. Before we continue, though, I do think it's time for a little shameless. I'm going to get it out of here one of these days. Shameless self-promotion.
Shameless self-promotion. It's time again to us to be shameless.
Yeah, I don't know why I can't say shameless self-promotion anymore. I think it's because we don't do it every week anymore.
Yeah,
so my tongue is not trained. It's like red leather, yellow leather.
I've never been good at that one. Red leather, yellow leather.
Red leather. The rest of this episode is just us doing red leather, yellow leather.
It is. So you can turn it off right now. Red leather, yellow leather. No, please don't.
But yeah, we do have a Patreon page if you'd like to help support this podcast. You can find that at patreon.com/DragonQuestFM. Get a whole bunch of exclusives, listen to a bunch of minisodes, chat with us. We try to share stuff on there from time to time, and it's just a cool way to get to talk to everybody in a more personal way. And just a huge shout out and big thank you to all of our Patreon patrons. We really appreciate all you guys. I do not think I have anything to promote this week. Let me think if I have anything personal to promote. Oh, I did write up a cool Dragon Quest post about Dragon Quest as comfort food, which you can find over on screenrant.com. I'll put a link to it in this episode if I think about it. But it was kind of just like a more personal op-ed, I guess you would call it, about, you know, why Dragon Quest is so comforting and why, you know, calling it traditional, you know, the way people call it traditional, like it's a bad thing, isn't a bad thing, and why it's actually great and comforting. So you can check that out. But I think that's all of my own stuff I have to mention today.
And I put up, yes, I'll be shameless, and I put up on DM's Guild for D&D players, one of my players in my in-person campaign for Spelljammer saw the penguin folk, the Dowar, like monsters in the new bestiary, and really liked them and wanted to play one. So I homebrewed up a race and racial options for the Dowar based on the NPC stat block, and put that up on DM's Guild. So you can just search for that as Penguin Folk or Dowar or my name on DMsGuild.com. And it's free. It's pay what you want. So grab it, see what you like, see if anybody in your campaigns want to play as a cute little penguin.
Huh, weird. So for the crowd who's missing, what was that Disney game? You remember where he's playing as a penguin?
Club Penguin.
Club Penguin. So if you miss Club Penguin, and you want to like role play with the penguin, that's
true.
Like
you can. It does. You're welcome.
Are there newt puns?
Newt. Oh, I didn't put any newt newts.
Oh,
that'll
man.
Be one of my
so
others.
Zero stars.
Different milestones I've put in other things, and so I'll definitely be putting in at least one of the NPCs that I put in, or monsters is going to be a newt newt. It's going to be named newt newt.
Good penguins, no newt newt, zero stars.
That's
my review.
That's your review. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Getting back over into Xenoblade and everything, but yeah, I really enjoyed Chapter 4. There was kind of that weird fetch quest. I think you're referring to. It's like where you're going around collecting ingredients, right?
The one I was thinking about was for the ether cylinders. You have to collect ether cylinders and kind of go back and forth just a bunch.
Oh, for the boat.
For the boat, yeah.
Yeah, okay, yeah. And then chapter 5, I thought, started really strong. Like, the ending of chapter 4 is kind of cool because that's really, like, I mean, if you're a Xenoblade fan, you kind of know going in already because of trailers and stuff. Like, you're kind of expecting some of the past characters to show up.
Right.
But this is where it like really like they blatantly call this character by her name and all of this, and there's kind of like a twist to it, and where it's kind of like an ah moment, but then you're kind of left with even more questions after the fact.
Uh-huh.
And I really liked all of that for the most part, and I really liked, there's a part later on, I don't want to spoil it for you, but there's a part later on where you come into that same room from a different area of the castle.
Yeah.
And it was really, really cool for me because whenever I got into that area, I immediately recognized it first game. And it was kind of like, it was kind of like at the end of, I had a similar kind of like moment when I watched Rogue One for the first time, and it gets to that moment where it's like the beginning of A New Hope,
where you see where you are.
And so whenever I was there in Xenoblade 3, it was kind of a similar moment for me where I was like, oh, this is where I am.
Yep.
And so that was like a really cool moment that came later, even though they like tease it just briefly at the end of chapter 4 here. And then like I mentioned last week, chapter 5 was kind of a mixed bag for me because it starts off so strong. The beginning parts of chapter 5, I was like, oh, this is really cool. I like this. Yeah. This is interesting. And then you get the boat, you go to this area that's just way too big and has way too much to do. And, then you get to the story, which I guess is probably around where you're at now, where like you get this big boat and then they make you travel around to some like 3 or 4 different islands.
Yeah, that's the one I'm on right now, as I'm on the second island looking for like trying to find information about how to get into the prison, how to get into this area and meet your contact, basically.
Yeah, which this is where it started getting tedious for me, because I was like, really? I have to go, the map is huge. I have to go around to all of this stuff. I also feel compelled to explore. You know, there's question marks. So I'm like, I know there's, you know, some quests and maybe even heroes quests out there that I need to stumble upon. And so it's very overwhelming at that point. But then it's like the story really slows down where I'm just like, okay, I'll drive 2000, what is it called? Metras or something like that in this game. I'll drive like 2000 metras or whatever over to this island and talk for a little while and run around. And then I'll drive, you know, 1500 over to this island and talk for a minute. And then I'll drive another 1800 over here.
Yeah.
And it was just like, really, like this is a trope I really hate in games anyway, like the collecting information trope.
Yeah, me too.
And thankfully Xenoblade, mostly a lot of that is just relegated to standard quests where you have to collect information and then chat about it at a campfire.
Yep.
And I ended up skipping a lot of the standard quests because I just hate that kind of stuff. And
yeah, same.
And so this is one of my least favorite tropes anyway. And then it immediately gets followed up with you're thrown in prison trope, which I hate, which is,
but
also,
you know, it's coming.
Like,
you do know that this is coming.
That's
so
true.
At least
but it
it's
kind of,
not just like some games, not like Dragon Quest Builders 2, where all of a sudden it's like, wait, oh, I want to build things. I don't want to be in prison.
But I think this is worse because I didn't like this part of the story. And then I also knew I was about to get in prison. And so it really killed a lot of my momentum because I was like, oh, cool. I'm going to follow up this thing I don't like doing in games with a thing I also don't like doing in games. And then there's the obligatory prison break, which is another thing I don't like. So it was just like, it was just like bad all the way around. And I know you, I already told you this, so I know it's not a spoiler for you. And I promise the good folks at home a minor rant on this last week. And so I don't want to leave anyone disappointed with a classic Austin rant, TM. And so here's my whole deal with the prison thing. It's like, so you get there, right? And it's like it's just mind-numbing, tedious work for really no reason, where it's like, you activate standard quests, but it's part of the main story, so you have to complete it, where it's like first day of prison, second day of prison, third day of prison.
Yeah.
And it's very repetitive, where it's like you're like the first day you're running around and you have to collect like 20 of like 3 or 4 different items in this area, and you're just running around collecting it, and it's very mindless work. And then it's like you have to go around and like kill some animals to get their drops, and it's very mindless work. And it's just one of those things where it's like kind of like I told you, where this is the first Xenoblade game, and this is my biggest gripe with the whole game. This is the first Xenoblade game that I felt like was wasting my time, which is weird because it's shorter than any of the rest of them. Like, I beat this game way faster.
Oh, did you? I never actually asked you how many hours it took you to beat the game.
Yeah, and so it's shorter, but it feels like it's wasting my time more than any of the others did. And this was definitely one of those points where I was just like, man, this is getting padded as like all get out, as my grandma would say. this padded as all get out. Which maybe people who didn't live in the South, I don't know how common of an expression that is, but it just means that it is padded AF. It is super padded. It is. And so, it's like, it's one of those things where it was just like, and it's just like, okay, you have to stay here because you need more time to do this. And so you have to play along and be nice to the guards. And it was just like, okay, whatever. I'll suspend disbelief on this. But, you know, you get to keep all your items and your weapons. And it's just like, there's just like so much going on. It's easily the weakest part of the game. And it's just it coming off of, you know, the boat stuff that I didn't really like, which is unusual for me because I love me some boats. And, you know, coming off of that and the island stuff that you're on right now and then, you know, prison and doing all this stuff. It was just all of that back to back was just like really hard to get into, and which is a real shame because I love the city, which we didn't mention yet, which is the beginning of part five. Like, I loved the city and the stuff that comes after, the stuff that comes after I really love. But this whole part, like I came really, really close to quitting the game. And
you did message me about quitting at this point where you're just like, I can't do this.
I told you I was going to quit. And the reason for that is because the final day for prison, you already know this, so I don't feel bad repeating it. The final day of prison, you basically run through, like, I guess gauntlet, for lack of a better word, but it's like you're climbing up this hillside. It's in this prison area and you're required to take out all of these like guards. Okay. Right. So you're required to do all these fights. And there's usually like five or six in one area. You go and you fight those, and you have to run to another area, fight five or six. Again, very tedious. What else is new? This whole part of this game is tedious. And then on top of that, you finally get up to the top of the hill, and there's kind of like a mini boss. And then there's a long cut scene and a boss and a long cut scene and a boss and a long cut scene and a boss and a long cut scene. And then, you guessed it, a boss. And there's like no real breaks in between or chances to save. And I got to what I thought was the final boss fight. It ended up there was one after that. I got to the final boss and my game crashed. Okay. This is the only time Xenoblade 3 crashed with me. And it was one of the few times I played it in handheld. So I just quit playing it in handheld. I don't know if that was related or not, but I was not taking any chances. And it got to that part and it crashed. And I booted the game back up because a lot of times the autosave is pretty good about autosaving it between bigger cut scenes or like big moments. And I don't know if the game glitched on me because it was about to crash or if it just didn't save between these segments, but it didn't autosave in any of that. So I had to start back at the beginning where I was going to have to take out all the guards, climb up the hill, do all those fights, do all those boss fights again. And even though I would have the option to play through the cutscenes, it was still just a lot of fighting. And so I text BJ, I really did. And I was like, I'm quitting this game. I think I used some coarse language. I was just like, I'm quitting this game. This is ridiculous. I can't believe it crashed. And it was already after this just horrible part that I was hating so much. And so, yeah, it really was one of those things where, I took a few days. I played Monkey Island 2 instead, which was just a totally different game. Played and beat Monkey Island 2 during this time and just kind of took a breather away from it and then came back to it a little while later when I felt more up to, you know, having to repeat myself through that again. And it was just not a fun time, not very good. Rant over. Ron Swanson. I'll put my name on it. Austin King, rant over.
I mean, and it's perfectly valid. Like, that is, if I'd crashed right there, I would have stopped for a long time too. Like, you actually came back probably before I would have if I had lost that much progress through the game and not been able to save at all. One thing that I do, and I don't know how the gauntlet works, but can you access your menu through that period?
I don't think so. No, not between cutscenes or I mean, you can between the smaller fights, like with the guards and stuff, because you're still running.
Yeah.
But once you get into the bosses and
once the boss gauntlet, you can't.
The only time I know of is there was one time I ended up wiping on a boss. It was the only time I wiped on a boss, and it gave me the option to like look back at the menu before I retried. Whenever you hit retry,
yeah,
you in the menu first. And I mean, I didn't have anything to change around. It was just that, you know, I didn't know the boss patterns, and so I died.
The reason that I ask is because I use quick save all the time from the menu. If you just hit Y on the menu screen, it quick saves.
Yeah.
And so through stuff like that, anytime I have the option to save or quick save, I take it.
I was just
curious if you could quick save throughout that and like ever had that opportunity.
Yeah. And I mean, and I do too, but it was kind of like, you know, it's just a little prison break time where I'm fighting the guards. I didn't expect my game to crash, and I didn't know that it was the end of the chapter and there was going to be like five boss fights. And so it's kind of just one of those things where at the time it was like I was killing these groups of guards, and I just, you know, was caught up in the moment and didn't think, like, hey, I should probably, you know, save this.
Save, like yeah.
Yeah, do a manual save. And so, but anyway, that was not great. Going back to the city, because I do want to talk about that this week before we run out of time.
Which is the area that I was talking about earlier, that really cool area that you get to that I just absolutely love is the city. Like, it's great. It's my favorite part of any of this.
It's really cool. And it really reminds me of Midgar. And I think it's the color scheme. They use a very similar grays and greens in that whole area. Like, the whole colors and like the bazaar and stuff like that looks very Midgar-y from Final Fantasy VII.
Mm-hmm.
And, but I really like that area too. I loved the, is it in chapter 4, I believe, with the baby and the finger?
Oh, is that
holding the baby's
finger? I can't
remember
if that's the end of chapter 4 or the beginning of chapter 5, but it was one of those where I'm like, yeah, that's powerful, man.
Yeah,
like
that's one of my favorite moments in the game. Yeah,
it's the most realistic that any of the characters have ever acted in a JRPG.
Yeah, it's the only time I ever liked Tyon.
Yeah,
it's when he's like, let me out of the way, let me out of the way. And then the whole cutscene ends on like probably the best one-liner, funniest moment of the game. Which is where the guy's like, would any of you like to hear how babies are made? And they all like raise their hands really fast. And it's hilarious. It's also sad because you realize that like these characters have not had a chance to live and don't know how babies are made. And it's just like, it's a very powerful moment, but it's super hilarious.
It's hilarious because there's this doctor and he asked that. And it's like, my finger missed the screenshot option right there where I was trying to take a screenshot of just that where I have the subtitles on. And I like hit the wrong one, and because I was using the pro controller and I always hit the wrong button on it, but for the minus and plus and home and screenshot. But it was really funny. Like, that was one of my favorite parts. And then it just cuts away to the next morning.
Yeah. And it's like all of that stuff was so fantastic. And that was really where I was like, when it got to that moment where I was like, you know what, this is a really, like, this is good. This is some good stuff. And then, and the city itself is really cool because down beneath there, you and I think it was yesterday, we're talking about the founders, the statues, and they touch on it briefly in the story where you go over there as you're getting like a guided tour of the city.
Yep.
But you go up to the statues and like read the inscriptions.
And I finally did last night, like after you told me, like I never went back. I didn't even realize you could see the inscriptions in there once, because it makes you move and leave and do all the rest of the stuff during the story. And so going back there, I was like, okay, I can read all of these now.
Yeah, and it's really cool. And it's like, you see those connections, not just because a lot of the characters look like characters you've seen in past Xenoblade games, but then there's also like descriptions where you're like, oh yeah, this is totally that character. It's like just vague enough where some of the time you're like, okay, was it like a descendant of that person?
Right.
And then some of the time you're like, oh no, it's got to be that character. Like the one that's Dunban has to be Dunban.
Yeah, where it was like, talking it about, like, this isn't the founder, but this is the mentor who lost an arm, and they wanted to be them to be enshrined here. And I'm like, yeah, that's absolutely Dunban.
Yeah,
like that's 100% like Dunban. Like, there's no way that's his entire character from the first.
Yeah, exactly. It's like if you were explaining Dunban as a character to someone who had never played Xenoblade 1, like it would just be that inscription on that statue, basically.
Yeah, it would be like, hey, he's a teacher warrior type who had a really big sword and lost his arm.
Yeah,
it's like that's That's what it is.
That's the TLDR for Dunban.
It is. And you know, that's great. Like, I love that character. And I was really happy to see all this. And so I'm excited to see where the game goes. Like, you were talking about seeing the part of the castle that was like, oh, yeah, this is where I've been in one. I felt that way about Colony 9. At the beginning of the game, like, mm-hmm. Colony 9 is straight from the beginning of Xenoblade 1. Like, it's the area, it is the same layout, it has everything in the little valley that it's in. And so I was the same way. I was like, oh, they're going direct, like, connections with this. So I haven't been back there to do, like, the hero quest just that I know is there. But it was one of those that took me by surprise. And I even looked it up to make sure that I wasn't, like, making this up in my head, that I went and looked up Xenoblade Chronicles 1's Colony 9. I'm like, yeah, this is totally the same. Excuse me, totally the exact same place.
Yeah.
And I really like that. And so I'm really curious on, because I don't remember many specific locations from 2. Because I played 2 much earlier than I did 1. Mm-hmm. So any of the specific locations that are for 1, that are from 2, I don't remember as well if I've either seen them or, like, they've just been referenced, that I've missed the Xenoblade Chronicles 2, like, subtle hints, like the subtle references to it, which makes me sad because I was playing through it again before this one, and I didn't get very far in my new game plus, and because I wanted to, because it had been so long since I played it before the others. So when those come up, and if you see those and notice those, let me know if you remember any of them, so that I can pay attention, because I know you and I talked about being able to see, like, Titans' heads in the distance and the stuff sword, like that, yeah. And the sword. But if you, like, remember any, like, oh, this was this city, this is where, blah, 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 let me know, because I really, truly do not remember, like, specific locations in it, other than just the great sweeping kind of world. Like the towers, you know, yeah. You get to where you get Juniper in Chapter 4. That reminds me so much of the World Tree in Xenoblade Chronicles 2. Climbing it, going up through all of the towers and the tech and everything, mm-hmm. It reminds me so much of going through the World Tree in Season 2. And so it's got the forest, or in Season 2, Xenoblade 2, where you're climbing up.
It's got the big tree and the tree roots and stuff.
Yeah, exactly. And so it's like, I'm wondering if there's any connection there that comes up. And don't tell me all like the connections and spoilers and stuff yet, yeah, but... But I'm really, really curious on how all of it ties together toward the end.
Yeah, and that's something hopefully we'll be able to talk about next week.
Yeah,
depending on you went through this latest stuff pretty quick, so I don't know. We'll find out. If not, we'll be back to talking about Dragon Quest.
And it feels like I didn't get through it quickly because I ended up getting delayed on Hero Quest that were just so hard to find their locations because the world is too dang big. Like, I love this big, expansive world, but in general, there are parts of this world that don't need to be as epic as they do. It's like, sometimes I just want to find a tunnel through this mountain instead of having to go to, like, 3 different zones trying to piece my way through the map to find this one. It's like, it was fairly annoying through some of them, yeah. For the hero quests and side quests.
Yeah, I think that's a valid criticism. Anyway, thank you guys for listening to this week's episode. Remember, you can find us on Twitter at DragonQuestFM and at patreon.com/DragonQuestFM. If you want to talk to me personally, you can find me on Twitter at DragonQuestin.
And I am on Twitter as at Professor Beej. You can talk to us on Discord at discord.geektogeekmedia.com. And go to DM's Guild and buy my penguin.
Thanks, everybody. We'll see you next week.
Bye, y'all.